Hey, this is Brad of Brad Abbott Plus the Band, and you're listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the Creep songs. Those are
running in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Let's go.
Hey, you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, BuildTheScene.com/radio, RooDaRoo, Radio.com, AltRockRadio.ca, and 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. My name is Bill. This is episode number 470, and with me tonight are Hell's Oasis. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
How you doing?
That sounded like quiet. Like,
you know what we should have done is we should have entered in like a high part harmony. Hello, 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 hello.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So now I'm really scared about my first question.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh no! You think you got the Three Stooges on the line?
All right, so with a band name like Hell's Oasis, there has to be an interesting story behind it. Can you share the story with us?
Yeah, Ginger, you go ahead and say that.
Okay, well, it's, you know, I know Hell's Oasis sounds like it could be like this thrash metal or very heavy rock or what have you, but the term Hell's Oasis is a nickname for the Dust Bowl area back in the late 20s, early 30s. So the panhandle of Texas, ranging up into Nebraska. And I had read this book by Timothy Egan called The Worst Hard Time, and about that era, about the Depression and about the Dust Bowl and people living through that. And I found it very moving. It was a compelling book. And that's when I learned about that that phrase, Hell's Oasis. And it reminded me, when I was reading the book, it reminded me of stories. I'm from Texas, and it reminded me of stories that my grandparents would tell about living during that time as newlyweds in a rail car with another couple in West Texas and seeing the clouds of dust on the horizon and coming their way, and how they'd have to cover their faces with bandanas and everything would be covered with dust in their home and in their rail car. So it just struck a chord with me. And so Alex had just written some guitar licks, some riffs, and we were putting a song together. And so I wrote a song based, that the lyrics were inspired by that, and I called it Hell's Oasis. And then we decided to adopt the name as the name of our band.
So you brought up something that I was meaning to ask you later, but now's a good time. How, having grown up in Texas and Alex in Pittsburgh, and I'm sorry, John, I don't know where you're from originally, but how did you guys come together?
Oh, okay. Well, I used to be a computer programmer, a contract programmer, and I had a contract with IBM in Austin, Texas. And right after that, I was always playing in bands, and I had a good, really good friend from New York come and work with us in Austin. It was really so cool. He was a really top-notch bassist, and we immediately got forward looking for musicians, and Ginger answered an ad that we had in the Austin Chronicle for a musician, for a singer. And she auditioned for the band and made it. It was pretty quick and easy. And she and I lasted way beyond all those bands. That was way back in 95.
That's when I actually started getting into the music scene.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I had already had several bands of different iterations with Piers, my bassist, and we'd had other singers, but she was the first one that really could sing.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing to find. It really is. It just really is.
Well, having been in different music scenes, including Austin, how would you compare the scene here in Pittsburgh to the other ones you've been involved in?
Well, I was a little bit involved. Me and Piers, we were in New York City together when we were going to university, and that's where our music journey kind of started. And in New York, there was it's a big scene, but not anything really compared to Austin.
Especially Austin, in the 90s.
Yeah. Especially in the 90s. Boy, that was just a beautiful time to live in Austin. Rents were low. Not that it was a big major deal for me, but it was for all the other musicians I played with. So they could live in town and get to practices and rehearsals and get to work easily. Nowadays, a lot of musicians, they have to live in the outskirts, in the countryside, literally, where you can find really good deals still. And I mean, commutes are horrendous.
During that time, and probably just right at the turn of the century, you know, Austin was the live music capital of the world. You know, they had the most live music venues per square mile of any place in the world while we were living there and gigging there. So it was a great time. It was almost, to be in a band, it was almost like a residency requirement in Austin. It was so full of musicians. Everybody was in a band, and like guitarists and vocalists, like lead guitarists and vocalists, they were a dime a dozen. Everybody wanted to be a lead guitarist and a vocalist. It was hard to find like a rhythm section, a competent rhythm section. And so that was sort of our experience in Austin. And we could, you know, we'd make our demo tapes, and they would be cassette tapes, and we would shop them at the venues, right? We would just take our tape to the booking agent, or not the booking agent, but the manager of what was like Steamboat and all these other different, the Mercury and La Zona Rosa, these different bars and venues in Austin. And that's how we would get gigs. And so now it's, you know, it's of course very different here 20 years later. How you get gigs is through, is digitally, you know, through internet. I'm contacting, you know, folks through Facebook and submitting things like through you, you know, mm-hmm. with you, with the internet, the submission application. And so you never have to, I don't know. I think in some ways it's easier now. I mean, because you don't actually have to, you can reach out to a number of places, put feelers out. And then everybody has been really very supportive. This is one of the things right. that I noticed about Pittsburgh is everybody has been real supportive of the musicians.
And even though, you know, the thing about Austin is that Austin, they were really pushing the whole music scene within the city itself. So it was, there was actually, I think a lot of city planning involved in that. Whereas here in Pittsburgh, I don't get that sense that they're pushing the music scene so much as they are, like say maybe the bar scene on the South Side or something like that, or like in Lawrenceville, you know, I notice a lot of that kind of going on. But what I have noticed is that there are so many places to play, but it doesn't seem to be a real network. And like, I'm still trying to figure it out. Because I'll find out of a place that has like a big stage and I guess there is a lot of cover bands. So I don't know. But yet at the same time, when we were at the Millville Music Festival, every single one of those bands were original stuff, and there were hundreds.
And they were good.
They were good. And then they kind of disappear in between festivals, and I'm like, where is everybody? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out the scene myself.
Bill, I think this kind of goes back to, you know, I gave you a little heads up in a message that, you know, we're new to the scene and new to the network. So we're just now getting to meet other musicians, you know. So I can tell by listening to your show that there is a network, but we just haven't
found your way into it.
Yeah, we haven't gotten into it yet. Yeah. And so we just spoke about Austin and we touched on Pittsburgh. John is new to Pittsburgh from the Boston area, right, John?
That's right.
What's the scene like out there?
Well, I think when you compare Pittsburgh and Boston, you know, it's what I noticed in Pittsburgh is that, you know, it seems to be very tight. I'm brand new. I've only been in Pittsburgh since August, so I'm not even on a year now. But it seems to be pretty tight-knit. You got a lot of people that are supporting each other. It's really good camaraderie. And I think in Boston, it's a little tougher. It's a little less like that. You know, it's a really big scene as well. Not quite a New York, you know, not quite an Austin or a Nashville. But it's a big scene. And I just find that being here and being new, that so far, people are you know, really cool here. And there's a stick togetherness here that I really like.
Yeah. And you're originally from New Hampshire, right?
Well, I'm on the, I'm in Massachusetts. I lived right on the border of New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
So the city recently did a study on the music scene. And mm-hmm. I mean, I don't usually talk about it on the show because some of it I got really angry at when I was reading it and I stopped reading. But if you go...
this could be cathartic. Go ahead. Let it go.
So if you go to pghmusicproject.org, you can actually find the document and read it. Okay. It's very long. But it was actually done by, I can't think of his name, but he's from Austin.
Oh,
okay.
And my Build the Scene website is actually based off of the Austin Music Scene site.
Oh, okay.
So when I was building it, I'm like, I need to find one that
a model.
Yeah, and that was the one I chose.
Excellent. Now,
it doesn't look the same, but I'm sure as you look through it, you'll mm-hmm. recognize like mm-hmm. the different sections.
Cool.
But I did want to ask you guys, and you mentioned the Millvale Festival. How excited are you to as new to the scene to be involved in the Deutschtown Music Festival?
Oh my gosh, we're wetting ourselves. We're so excited. Well,
yeah, totally. This is going to be really cool. I'm excited. And I'm sure John is too, although I don't know if he's still connected.
I was panicking.
Don't worry. I'll send a telegram.
So John is new to our band. We released our music, just me and Alexis, recording the whole album, just the two of us. Alex did all the instruments and the mixing and the mastering, and of course I sang all the parts. And we had a couple, and John is and I are in the same running group, and we got to talking, and he plays saxophone, and I'll let you talk more about it in a minute, John. But we've got a couple of songs in on our album that were like, gosh, this could really use horns, right? So when I heard that he played mm-hmm. saxophone, I asked him what he was looking to do, you know, and he was interested in getting involved in a project. So we sent him a couple of our songs to work on, and he is a real quick study, and we're super excited for him to play with us. And so now we're playing. We've got him involved in more and more of the songs.
Yeah,
so he's brand new, like 3 weeks, a month. Is it even a month, John?
Maybe a month. It hasn't been too long at all. But I've kind of jumped right into it. It's been great, and one of the great things about how we're set up is it's really good back communication, call and response. Things that we're doing that it's just really great, and so great to be able to communicate musically. We really have a good already. We have really good interplay when we perform and rehearse, and it's almost like having a conversation, which is great.
Yeah. So we're doing some songs where we've got this disco sort of funk song. And we're gonna re-release it. It's on our album, and we're gonna re-release it. We're super excited about this, and it's gonna include like this callback between me and him. So I'm like scatting, and he's like, you know, we're talking back and forth. It's gonna be cool.
You have a show tomorrow. the July 6th at the 19th hole in Chippewa. What can you tell me about that show? And are there any others that you'd like to mention since we already talked about Deutschtown?
Yeah, this is going to be this is going to be our first time at Chippewa, and we're pretty excited. It's a nice establishment. It's definitely not a dive bar. It's a real nice place. They've got nice food and whatnot. And we'll have our full setup there with lights and smoke and all good music. So we're definitely going to be also using it as an opportunity to take some video of all the highlights of the show so that we can use it within our advertising.
Cool. Are there any other shows that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I think the ones that we're certainly excited about all our shows, right? So we've got a couple at bars and then the Deutschtown Festival, but the ones that we're really excited for are in August. We've got the on August 23rd, which is a Friday night. We're playing the Fridays at the Frick, Summer Fridays at the Frick. So we're real excited about that because that's going to be hundreds of people come to those shows, and so hopefully we'll get some people that are excited about us. And then the very next night is the Squirrel Hill Night Market on Saturday, the 24th, August 24th. And so there are thousands of people that go to that. And so that we're excited about that too. Oh yeah, Alex, you were talking about
Wednesday night.
On Wednesday, August 14th at Flagstaff Hill. I always like seeing the bands before the movies, and so now we'll be one of the bands. So that's kind of cool.
So we're going to play Creature of the Night on the show here momentarily. What's the backstory to that song? Like, I mean, well, I know vampires, but lay it on.
Yeah. I don't think there's really, lyrically speaking, there's not really a backstory. I mean, except that, you know, it is about a vampire. There may be a more interesting backstory about the music, but Alex can talk to that, but we did make a video and there is sort of some stories about that we can talk about.
You could talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead, talk about it. Yeah, well, it's our daughter who plays a vampiress, I guess, who stalks her victim and eventually gets her victim, and in the end, the victim becomes a vampire themselves, as to be expected in a music video. And, yeah, right? You know, when we did this music video, when we started doing all the music videos, I really, really wanted to be a little bit kitschy, do them like they were back in the 80s and 90s, where they were a lot more fun. I don't even look at videos anymore, it seems, because it's just not as interesting. I like a lot of like the Foo Fighters stuff. I think their stuff is really funny. So in that vein of the 80s video, we created this, and we did a full production. We had everything set up, and we had lots of people helping us, and it was just such a great fun time to do stuff like that.
Cool. I just tried to Google it and my computer is not connecting to the internet, which is really weird because we're talking through the internet.
Yeah, you better be careful. There might be a vampire lurking right behind you.
So it's on YouTube. We've got a YouTube channel and it's one of the videos that's on the YouTube channel.
Yes, Hell's Oasis. And of course we're on all the other streaming platforms, the Spotify's, the iTunes and so on and so forth.
Okay. Well, let's take a moment, listen to Creature of the Night by Hell's Oasis. We're also going to listen to the R.S. Paul Band and their song Drive All Night, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. Fast track loop. losing everything you had. The best track to leave it all alone. Or are you just heading home? Yeah. Sorry, I won't be there in your time of need. I don't know who'll bear witness. I pity me. Never coming back. We've lost everything we had.
Hey, it's Bill. If you're just tuning in, you missed the first segment with Hell's Oasis. We talked a little bit about their roots in Austin, but they're from Boston, Pittsburgh, and Austin, which is a neat mix. And you can hear it a little bit in their voices when they're talking, too.
That's right.
John's accent's wicked hot.
Oh, we're going to go there, are we?
I know.
My wife has a...
Y'all just make me squall.
My wife is actually a lot... She grew up a lot closer to Boston than I did, so she has it a lot more than I do.
We better hurry up. I got to go down to the creek.
I fought that on that one for a long time. I don't say it anymore.
Jag off.
Oh, I remember the first time you said that to me, Alex, in Austin. And I was like, what is that? You just made that up. And he's like, no, we use that in Pittsburgh. I'm like, no, you meant to say something else and you made that up.
There are whole websites about the accent here.
Yeah.
Actually, Ginger, I meant to say jackass.
Well, that's not what I thought.
I recall now.
Yeah.
No.
So... What is your dream gig? Like, who would you want to play with, and where would you want it to be at?
Ginger, you want to start on that?
I think it may be different for each of us. And I think it may be different for each of us at any given time. Like, right now, my dream gig would be to open for Alabama Shakes. I just think they are amazing. I think our music matches really nicely with what they play. I mean, we clearly have some similar influences. Like we have some Zeppelin-esque and some Beatlesque and some Jack White. And I know I sometimes channel Michael Jackson a little bit, and all that is captured in Alabama Shakes. So that would be sort of my dream. If we're talking about right now.
Where would you like to open or play with them at? See, there's that teacher thing coming out of me. The knowledge.
right. So where? Oh, you know, maybe one of these big fun festivals. I don't know. Like,
how about Austin City Limits?
Oh my gosh. That's Alexis, that would be awesome.
Austin Cilicus would be awesome.
I don't know. I mean, why don't you talk about that for yourself, actually? You know, because this would be, I think I would want to open up for them at one of these big festivals, like a really cool one. Like, what's a really cool, like Bonnaroo or something? Yeah.
Well, are these live acts that are still alive, or like any act in the past, or?
I was waiting. That gets asked every time I ask a question like this. We can go that route if you want. You can pick someone from the past that's not currently alive anymore. What kind of wording was that?
I've always been somewhat intrigued with like as far as guitar bands and stuff like that. Django Reinhardt, he was a gypsy guy from France, and I think this is back probably 30s-40s, and the scene was much different, and of course it's Europe, and but I would hear a lot of really cool things about the performances, and so to have the opportunity to open for Django and of course to get the opportunity to play with him, because he would jam with the previous band and he would jam later, and I'd just go on and on and on. And of course, there's a little bit of mystique there with the gypsy lifestyle.
Wow, that's an interesting choice, because I don't know how our band would, you know, that seems they're so disparately different.
Well, yeah, style of playing is not something that's very popular nowadays. I guess there's a little bit of the sort of the cabaret sound that's going around, but I don't hear too many people doing it. Usually they match it with an old timey singing voice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think you could use that style. It's difficult though. It's jazz bass, you know? And so we're not talking easy stuff. It's, you know, a lot of technical guitar playing.
Right. What about you, John?
Yeah. Well, me personally, as a saxophonist, I've always for some reason, I've always been a fan of Billy Joel. And his use of the saxophone has been something that's been very influential for me. And his shows, just to, you know, to be involved with that kind of like a Madison Square Garden, you know, how he has the residency there and everything. And the crowd just loves him, especially in New York.
I was just in New York City and I took a picture of the sign. I was so excited to just go past it.
I'm actually, you know, I actually saw Billy Joel at Fenway Park. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Fenway Park.
It was a great show, and I love that venue as well. There was like an awesome place to see a concert. But yeah, like his use of the saxophone, I just love it. The harmonies and the crowd just loves them, and it's just really exciting. So that's what I'd say. But as you said, Ginger, like we all have different answers that are just so different.
Yeah.
Although if you're talking about a band that's around nowadays or something that's local, there's a band that we saw at Millville Music Festival called Chase the Baron. And I really dug their stuff. It was really cool, very diverse. And especially that song they played at the end, it was very Steely Dan-like.
But that's not a very... Yeah, so it's not a very big band, but we're beginning to identify bands in the area that we think that we would match nicely with. Yeah, and that's one of them. Chasing the Barons.
I'm really glad you guys went in this direction, because it fits my question really well.
Okay.
So when we were trying to figure out when we were going to record this episode, you mentioned that you were hoping to go out and see some friends play tonight.
Yeah.
And I was wondering who those friends are and who some of the other bands are that you guys like to see being new to the scene.
Right. So a while back, maybe, what do you think, 3 or 4 years ago, Alexis?
Yeah.
We auditioned a drummer, and his name is Larry, and we really liked him, but the timing wasn't right. We just weren't ready. You know, I know Bill, you've got kids. Well, we have a kiddo, and you know, and it, the timing just wasn't right in terms of that stage in our lives. And so this drummer has gone on and joined other projects. And so he's playing with a couple of different bands. And one of the bands is the Cheerly Men, which I think is a Celtic rock band. And they're opening for Smokey Bellows, which is this indie rock band. And so
I know the Smokey Bellows manager, actually.
Yeah. So, I listened a little bit to Smokey Bellows, and I know the guy that plays the drums and the Cheerly Man. And I'm like, oh, and it's at the Enix Brewery, which we are interested in, you know, hopefully getting to play at some point. And so I just thought, oh, I want to go check it out. And so I'm hoping that I can go over there and see Larry and meet some of those guys tonight.
Okay. Last difficult question. Two more to go though.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen sparrow?
Nicely played.
That's the knowledge.
It is 400, and I'll explain that later. How 50 years from now, what do you hope people will remember about Hell's Oasis?
Oh.
See, I told you.
Yeah.
50 years from now, it might be inconsequential, but because if the ravages of global warming happen, we will all be worrying about how to fish.
Oh, come on. Don't take it.
No, wait. I do have a question.
If it's not a post-apocalyptic world.
See, wait. I do have that question. I'm not going to have you guys answer it, but I do ask bands like every other show, if there's an apocalyptic episode and you can only have one song of yours survive that the human race is going to use while they're recreating the human race, which song would they be listening to?
Oh, I personally like Tree Song, but...
Oh, no. Well, I would say one of our songs that we haven't even recorded yet properly, and it's Life is Good, a song about hope, right? So,
yeah, from the civilization that annihilated itself. Yeah, actually, I like that. You're the one for me, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, You're the One for Me, Bill, is another one of our songs. So, But the question is about in 50 years, what would we hope people know about us or remember about us?
Right.
Well, I hope that we're engraved on like a gold disc, like a gold record that's been sent out into the solar system because the Earth has succumbed to global warming. And then the people that do hear us will be, you know, this we're talking not 50 years, but centuries down the line. I hope they really have. Can you imagine those guys like sitting in a spaceship, and they're like listening to the stuff, and they're like these little 3-foot guys, you know, with their little slick suits, and they start dancing, you know.
Okay, all right.
You remember the little baby that danced back in the 90s?
I do.
Something like that.
Right, last question for you, easy one.
Okay,
how can people get a copy of your music?
Go to our website or go to CD Baby. You can buy our music there, but if you just want to stream it, we would really love if people would go on Spotify and follow us, like the songs. You can listen to free on YouTube and watch our videos. Make playlists with our songs. We really would appreciate it.
I actually, when bands send me music, I have a playlist and I add it to the playlist. So.
Oh, that is so cool.
There's a Build the Scene playlist out there that has.
Yeah, I've seen it. I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll have a really, really cool merch coming down the pike too for, And this isn't like simple T-shirts with names on it. We got some cool art coming on to down the pike.
So, hey, Bill, I just have to say real quickly, just props to you. You know, I ever since we've gotten in touch about doing this interview, I've listened to probably 10 of your podcasts. And it is great for discovery about music in the area and about services that are for local musicians. And I learned about the Rock for Life concerts that you're involved, you know, that you support. And it's just like, I don't know. And I totally get like where you are in your stage of life. You sometimes mention that in terms of not being able to get out there right now, you know, to see a lot of live music, but you still are very active in supporting it. And I just think, you know, it's a great thing that you're doing. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that. And yeah, clearly you have listened to quite a few, because I do mention a lot of those things often.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are bands. Yeah. I mean, when I first started listening to it, I thought, oh, you know, it's all hard rock or something, but it isn't, right? You've got indie and you've got country and you've got, I mean, maybe not so much country, but some rock with a country flair. And
there have been, I've had reggae artists on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done the indie, I've done country, I've done southern rock, I've done the metal, the hard rock. But I pigeonholed myself with the title of the podcast by calling it Pennsylvania Rock Show. But when I do the ones that don't fit in, I usually say something to the effect of, hey, it's my show and I'm going to do what I want. I actually have a second podcast that I started recently. It's called Three Questions and a Song.
I've listened to that.
And that one, I can do whatever I want on.
There you go. So yeah.
As I've gotten older, I've learned that you need to pay attention to what you name things.
Yeah. That's a sweet little podcast. I love it. I like it a lot.
Build the Scene is my fourth website with local music. And the first one was AK Music Scene. AK is the valley I live in. Allie Kiske. So I pigeonholed myself. And then I did a Pennsylvania Rock Show, which pigeonholed myself.
Right. There you go.
And then my third one was Podcast Your Scene. I learned. And then
there you go.
Build Your Scene.
So I see a thread here. I'm going to start a podcast, and I'm going to start at 14th Ward.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I'm going to go ward by ward, county by county. I'm going to make mistakes left and right.
You know, that'd be hard. That's how we learn.
I know. It's like, I had a question, like, because what band would you, are you a musician?
I am not. Which probably just really confused you, but
if you I understand you're into music. Do you what band would you want to follow?
So all of this, and this is a conversation that I've had on the show a lot, but not recent. Everything that I do, and I mentioned the four different websites, I can pinpoint three bands from the local scene that got me to this point.
Yeah.
And then there are more that have more stories behind them. But I was the first band is Hybrid, who's not together any longer, but their bass player and their drummer are both in a band After the Fall and A Common Crown. And then their drummer also plays in Dimwit.
That's
a good Super Monkey. And Silk Nine.
Okay.
So yes, he's in five bands.
And I thought Skell was going to factor into this too.
Skell. I will get to them too. So Hybrid, really Matt and Steve from Hybrid, and they're the ones who started Rock for Life as well.
Okay.
And then their brother was in Steve's brother was in a band called Sundog. So I built Hybrid's website, and then I built Sundog's website, and then Cage, who's no longer together. They were (KAJ), like the special spelling of the word cage.
Okay.
And the lead singer of the band Cage showed up the first time that I ever broadcast live, because I didn't have a microphone. And it was 100% an accident. So he showed up with the microphone so that we could broadcast. And when we were done, he's like, man, that was really fun. We should do that again. So the following week, he showed up with a mixer and like 15 musicians. And that was the second Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Oh.
So between those, you know, those three bands were really what got me started.
Yeah.
And then there are so many, like Doppler Effect, who's a southern rock band. There's a link to them that I'll tell you guys off the air because it's kind of depressing. They're a great band, great guys. And nothing about them in particular is depressing. I wish I would have worded that differently.
Yeah. I was like, a depressing link. That's an interesting link.
When I explain it to you, you'll understand. Okay. Skell is my favorite metal band in the area. And I tell people all the time that Skell is Pittsburgh metal. And I don't know if you've had a chance. I mean, you clearly knew who they were, but their guitarist is phenomenal. His name is Mike Pallone.
Okay.
And he actually plays guitar in the band Dimwit, which is like a 70s, 80s, 90s cover band. And then he plays metal as well.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Do they play out?
They do. They're actually in the process of recording right now, though. I believe they are at Rock for Life, I think, Saturday night this year. Let me pull that up.
I've got the notes. I took notes. Let me see if I can find them now. Yeah.
They're headlining Saturday night, August 3rd. And
cool, where at?
Okay, so I tell you what, let me do an outro.
Okay.
And not that I don't want to talk about Rock for Life, but Rock for Life is in its 20th year. It benefits local children that are battling diseases. You can find out more information about them at rockforlife.com. If you want to check out Hell's Oasis, their website address is
hellsoasis.net.
And
go ahead. Just search Hell's Oasis, Google search, Spotify search, YouTube search. It will pop right up. You'll see our dog. He's got a big underbite. He's a mascot.
At first, I thought it was Chewbacca.
He does. He's got that long. He's just a long, messy old guy.
He loves to bark at me when I play. For some reason, he doesn't like the sax much, but
I think he likes it. His tail is wagging. He likes it. It's just it's a join in. He's trying to harmonize.
Absolutely.
All right,
he's got to get that palette worked out.
This has been episode number 470 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Check us out each and every week at parockshow.com. If you're interested in checking out Three Questions and a Song, you can go to podcastyourscene.com. I believe I have like 18 podcasts listed there now that have something to do with local music. The last thing I do want to mention is who I have coming up, and then I'm going to go off the air and talk with these guys a little bit more. So next week we have Jason from the Crucible Project coming on. We're following that up with Royal Honey, which I actually recorded in their practice space on Monday of this week. Danny Gochnor, and I messed that up, Gochnor, who is from the House Rockers, Joe Grushecki and the House Rockers. And then we're going to head out east and talk to Dear Anna, who I don't know much about yet, but that's August 2nd. So I want to thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Taste.
Hey guys, this is Greg from Post Traumatic, and you're listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, the best in live and local music.